All right, it is Monday, April 12th, 2021. This is Chris Ariano. I'm here with Michael Rael at his office, the municipal court building here in Cuesta, New Mexico. My interview with Mr. Rael is part of the Northern New Mexico Music Past and Present Project. So, Mr. Michael, why don't you tell us a little bit about Michael?
Well, I am Michael Rael. I have lived here in Cuesta toda mi vida, all my life. And it's interesting that we're doing this interview here tonight because this is the first court case we've had since the pandemic started.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that so it's real, we're making history tonight, I say, you know.
This is real first history.
And I want to thank Chris for doing this.
Yeah. That's awesome. I want to, thank you for being here, Mike. So you grew up in Cuesta?
Yes.
Okay.
I grew up here, went to elementary school here, the eighth grade. My dad decided I was going to get in too much trouble, so he sent me to Hayes, Kansas, where I went to a military school that was run by priests. That was not fun.
Yeah.
So then from there, I went to New Mexico Military Institute in Roswell. And I really enjoyed that. I liked that school. I enjoyed that. And then
this was like in the early 90s, right?
Well, no, 60s, bro. 69 is when I came back home. 1969. Remember, I was born in 1950.
Yeah.
You know, as a friend of mine puts it, I was born when God was inventing dirt.
Yeah.
But no, this was in 69, and then I got married then, and my daughter, Monica, my son, Michael, and my daughter's in Colorado, working for the Colorado Department of Transportation. My son is a musician. He's the choir director at the Catholic Church, and he works at our store at Cuesta Lumber. Mm-hmm. And I have them. He does music really good, and my grandson, Forrest, Monica's son, he is a superb guitarist.
Well, how old is he?
He is 18 now. He just turned 18. He is in college, high school, and working full time.
Okay.
They're in Trinidad. Yeah. And then here, Diedrich, he plays guitar and guitarron for the mariachi band.
Mm-hmm.
And then a bunch of grand nieces and nephews that play music and are in sports and stuff. So my family has been here a long time, and I guess we're going to stay here for a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I remember, you know, with me growing up playing music too, I remember in high school, so it was the Michael and Janet days, or I forget what the name of the band.
Magic Moods.
Magic Moods was the band in the area, and you guys were so nice enough to help us at the stage band there in Cuesta, and you would, you even hired, you know, me to go play some guitar with you guys a couple times.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've always looked up to you guys, and,
you know,
and then, you know, what intrigued me a lot is that anytime we'd talk to you, Mike, you know, when we were younger, you seemed to be so full of stories on all the, you know, the history of music.
And Cuesta has... Cuesta is one of the most interesting, well, not just Cuesta, but the whole area. Mm-hmm. You know, in north from Cuesta to Amalia, Costilla, Cerro, El Rito. We have people that have been here for a long time, and they are true pioneers. You know, they made this place. You know, at one time, Cerro was bigger than Cuesta. Mm-hmm. At one time, Costilla was the center of everything. And then something happened with the reservoir up there in the Costilla, they thought was going to explode or some stuff, so they moved to Taos. But before Taos, Costilla was the place to be.
Mm.
You know, and Cuesta, we just finished our church here, redoing the church, which was incredible. This church, the cross church, the shaped like a cross, was finished in 1873. But the first one was finished in 1855. And so when they were working on this, they would take off stuff and they would find names of people that worked on them back then. It's the same families that worked on it now.
Yeah. And all that, the Rayals, the Ortegas.
Ortegas, Cisneros, Garcias, Gonzalez. You know, and what was neat is people from all over the world come and work a day. Mm-hmm. And our church is one of the most beautiful. It's going to be there for 1,000 years. And we have a history here in Cuesta that's amazing. You know, so...
Yeah,
to the people that want to come to see what's here, we have a lot to show. Mm-hmm. You know, starting with the church, the lake that they fixed, the little Eagle Rock Lake, is really sweet to walk, and people take care of it. Then we have the Rio Grande, the Northern Rio Grande National Monument. Mm-hmm. Oh, that is fantastic. So we have a lot to show. And when it comes to music, we have some of the best musicians, period. Mm-hmm. You know, I go listen to, like, when I used to go listen to you guys, you know, I've always, Cuesta could never really afford a good PA system, and I always had a PA system, so I always was putting mine up, you know, because you got to help.
Yeah.
My dad's legacy to me was, make the world around you better, your world will be better. Mm-hmm. And that's, until the day I die, I'm going to be that way.
Yeah.
You know, it's like anybody needs anything I have, orale, you got it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because you know what? I'm a woodworker. I make cabinets and stuff. My son's the same thing. But you know Antonio Mendoza, the great guitarist from Santa Fe now. One time he called me up and he says, oh, yes, I have a guy in La Mosa wants to learn how to do cabinets. Can you teach him? I'll pay. They said, well, I need a peon, so bring him up. And this guy worked with me for about a year, and then he started his own shop, and he's doing really good.
Well, that's awesome.
And people say, and I had one girl one day come to me and goes, I know you won't do it, but do you think I could use your entrega for my wedding? And I go, why did you start with, I know you won't do it? Well, Mijita, whatever I have, I share.
Yeah.
I came in here, in fact, and I made a copy of the general entrega, gave it to her, and whoever did her marriage, they sang it.
Right.
But it's not mine. Entrega belongs to our area.
To this community.
And now it's no longer needed. It's just tradition. Mm-hmm. You know, so I love doing it, then I do it in English.
Yeah.
And then I have fun. I poke fun at the people there.
Right.
And so they have fun with it. And that's what it's about anymore. In the old days, it was serious stuff because there was only one priest that come up here a year. You know, and so the parents the kids that wanted to get married would find padrinos and turn the kids over to them to teach them. So then that became, well, let's have a little ceremony. And it became pomp and circumstance. And that's good. I always thought that the entregas came from Spain. But Arsenio Cordova, who passed away, was a musician and a historian and stuff. He's the one that wrote a book on it saying, no, this is northern New Mexico, southern Colorado.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So that's, you know, like that's where I base my stories from. So it's pretty neat. Wow. You know, it's like, this is, and I can see why. When you only have a priest come up, and in those days, premarital sex was not an option. You'll get your face slapped real hard.
It didn't happen. Yeah. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, because I guess that ties into the other interviews that I've done with the hermanos and stuff. And the reason for those whole groups was because the priests wouldn't come down.
Yeah, once a year.
Yeah, once a year, and so they started their own groups and prayer groups, and yeah, that whole thing is just interesting. I was talking to Bernie yesterday, and actually we were talking about the entrega, and I was wishing that I could do a whole series on that too, because that's such a deep history here in northern New Mexico, and now knowing that it actually
started here,
that's, yeah, because my mom used to sing the entregas too, and my dad would always, you know, play for her, and I remember Gladys Torres would always help my mom, and you know, just people that kind of were familiar with how to write the verses, they would help each other write them for the newlyweds.
Well, yeah, and you know, it's like, I remember the first one I played for was when my brother Ralph got married, and Lorenzo Martin Martinez from Taos now, him and I played it. And there was a lady from Peñasco that sang it. It went on for 45 minutes. And then people were throwing money to the novios, and she said, no, that's my money. No, it isn't. One of my tios, who my Ralph was his consentido, he threw $1,000 in there. No, you're not taking that. So we finally ended up, whatever they paid her, they paid her. But from then on, when I've done and probably 100 to 125 entregas. Yeah. And the one that I did a wedding in Española, and the wife came from Germany. Trying to write that entrega was fun. That was fun, trying to get things to match, to rhyme. And then, of course, that's when I started doing a bilingual, because they weren't going to understand.
Right.
And then now, if you do a strictly Spanish, even the novios don't understand. How many kids know their language? They don't anymore.
Yeah.
You know, it's like Michael, my son, he works hard to try and speak it and trying to teach his kids the same, Monica the same, because we're losing our language. Mm-hmm. And then our language here in, from basically, probably Taos North, we have our own language. It's an Antigua. It's an antique Spanish. Mm-hmm. And of course, now that there's a lot of the Mexicans, or what they call Latinos, people come from Latin America up here, they don't speak what we speak. Mm-hmm. And we listen to each other and go, huh? Like, you know, I just had a gentleman here that comes from Mexico, here in my court. Okay, so, you know, by law, I have to say everything in English and get a translator, but I'm not going to pay $90 an hour from somebody in Santa Fe to come here. So I do it, you know, it's like, they get mad at me for doing it. But you know what? Sometimes you got to take care of the client and not what the rules are, you know. It's like, and he understood fine. Mm-hmm. And I told my girls, you know, it's like, you know, if you can't, when I'm gone, you can't do it. We can do it on Skype now. We can do it on Zoom. We just bought a new system to put in here for that.
Yeah.
Because there's times that I'm not going to be here and they can't do it. Well, llámame.
Yeah.
Give me a call.
Give me a call.
And I've been the judge here now 21 years.
21 years.
Been elected. I've had only had one year that had competition in running. Mm-hmm. The rest of the time, you know, and then the great thing about what I've done as a judge is you never hear about anything about me, because there is no, I keep as straight as possible. When I put my dress on, as one guy told me, you're not like this at the store. You're not like this, like you were in court. And I says, bro, when I put my dress on, I'm a different person.
Yeah.
And I can't take things too seriously. But once I get behind that desk and I put my robe on, then I become the judge, you know, mm-hmm. and I have to be the judge. Yeah. Out here, when I'm out there, people want to come and talk to me about judging. Go see me in court.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk to you here. And you have to do that in a small town like this. Si no te comen. They just, oh, man, they, you
come
know.
Come on, primo.
And that's it. Andale, bro, mira, bro. Oh, shut up. Get out.
I didn't mean to do it, bro.
I mean, I was only going 100 miles an hour just for fun. We had one lady one night going 75, and they stopped her. Why are you going so fast, man? What does it matter? Nobody lives here.
There's just a handful. So, Mike, how old were you when you, did you start playing guitar? Was that the first instrument, or how did you get into music? How did that happen?
Well, I always liked to sing. I couldn't play any kind of instrument. When I was 13, my dad gave me an album, Elvis Presley album, with a guitar and the C chord.
Yeah.
That was my first chord. That's where I started learning. And I was bad. I mean, one of my primas has recordings from way back there, and I listen to it, and I go, ee, bárbaro. But that's how I started. I Elvis Presley was my my hero. You know, I wanted to be Elvis Presley. And my sister and younger brothers talk about how I used to make them be my audience, and I would do the shimmy and shake, and they have to clap and yell and scream. I've been a show-off all my life. So that's how I got started doing music. And then here in Cuesta, the Monte Carlo and the Kiowa are the two places that I started. And then I had some great, you know, Lorenzo Martin Martinez from Taos was one of my teachers, has always been and still teaching. I mean, as you know, being a musician, you never stop learning. Mm-hmm. You keep going. But one of my heroes of the area was Lorenzo Queso Bailon. Mm-hmm. Lorenzo couldn't read. If the song was written in A and he had to sing it in A and kill his vocal cords, that's because he didn't know anything about transposition. Mm-hmm. So I would teach him. But when he came to playing, nobody, to this day, I don't think, has the enthusiasm he had on stage. He would get up there and he'd make you feel the music. Mm-hmm. You know, like, Kansas City, the way it was written and everything was, well, I'm going to Kansas City, here I come. You know, it was kind of slow and it was a ballad. Well, when Lorenzo took it, man, well, I'm going to Kansas City, you know, he got it going. And that's how I based my Kansas City on him, because it just rocked. It just taran, taran, taran. And then there was Marina Garcia, who was another, a vocalist beyond. I mean, she was incredible.
She was from Cuesta?
Her dad, Frank Garcia, my mom talks about him, that he used to have all kinds of programs here in Cuesta. He was a saxophone player, and his son Gabriel played saxophone. Marina played guitar and sang, and she could sing Hermanito. But her cucurrucucu is what I based mine on. Mm-hmm. Her cucurrucucu. And so this Marina, she's somewhere up in upper New York, and she's still doing plays and stuff. You know, because she has one of those voices that went forever. So, you know, those are the people that, you know, you get inspired by. You keep looking, trying to, orale.
Trying to imitate.
Yeah, because they're so incredible too. And then I remember there was Michael Herrera. They asked me to teach guitar in school. I don't know a damn thing about teaching, but I went and did it. So I was doing that, you know, and did a little bit of that, and I taught him that. He tried it twice and was better than I was, because he was a natural.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not a natural at music. Everything I go, es el modo del burro.
You're stubborn.
Yeah, I have to work it. You know, like my grandson and my son, they'll listen, and they got it. Mm-hmm. This Michael, the same thing. He got it. Martin, you're the same thing. You all know I have to. What? Wait a minute. What can you say? How does that go? Well, then I tell people this. I am not a good enough musician to copy a song, but I'm damn good at interpreting.
Yeah.
And I do. Every song is mine.
To me, that's the way it should be. You know? The song's already written, beautiful and perfect, and you know, why are you going to copy it
to
interpret it the way you feel it or however it moves you? And
my cuckoo has never. I can do it five times a night and it won't be the same,
mm-hmm.
because you feel different. Yeah. And when Janet and I, my second wife and I played, we played at La Fonda for 6-7 years.
Mm-hmm.
That was a five. That I play that 3 or 4, 5 times a night, because that was a favorite of the people that come in.
Uh-huh. La Fonda and
Santa Fe.
In Santa Fe, yeah.
And then from there we moved into the Laredo Inn, mm-hmm. in Laredo, and then from there we moved to the Desert Inn, and then that's when Michael started playing basketball. That's when they won the state championship.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, "No, we're done. We're going back home." So I could watch him, you know. It's like, because Cuesta does have a state championship in basketball, and if I remember one, they have one in baseball too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you know, and then the cheerleaders, you know. So hey,
Yep, so, that was my era. I remember the state champion. Was a big deal. A big deal in Cuesta.
Oh, hey, I mean, they would, like, they, you know, they would get an escort all the way from Arroyondo to here, you know. Yeah.
So what are some of the bands that you remember that were here in the area when you were growing up playing? Do you remember some of the...
Man,
you
mentioned a few names. But. The Zozobras was one of them with Alan Vigil, and one who was one of my... Trujillo, Vito Trujillo Sr. Yeah. He was one of mine. Bert Witka was the drummer. Big man. Mm-hmm. He just sit there. He was one of those drummers that kept everything so cool, but never took over.
Yeah.
He was like Tim. Tim is my drummer, and man, he can drum like nobody's business.
Oh yeah.
You know, a drummer is there to set everything, but not take over. You mm-hmm. know, that's, and so yeah, and there the Chicos Blues Band with Primo Carl Rael. That was much later, but mm-hmm. he had a good band, and then. Now we have, like you, we have Brian,
Dwayne.
These guys, man, they have some voices. You have a voice. It's like I used to do all the parades, you know, talk, you know, all the, people have fun. I told Dwayne, it's up to you to take it over, man. It's like, you know, some viejitos need to sit and watch, but they're not doing it like I might have to start doing it again.
They're not doing it to your standard.
No, well, they don't do it enough. And I was like, yeah. To me, one thing is about even like shirts, caps, I don't wear anything that's not Cuesta. Mm-hmm. I wear all my t-shirts at Cambalache or the farmer's market, Cuesta Lumber, CarQuest, whatever is here, because I am so proud of where I'm from.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to me, you know, my dad and his people back then that took Cuesta, made it an independent school district. They, you know, incorporated the town. Well, these people, we have to continue that tradition of loving our hometown.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, and we have kids that have left Cuesta that are doing incredible work everywhere. You know, I mean, I'm hoping that when they're done, they come back, you know, and mm-hmm. retire here and give their to the kids. Mm-hmm. Because
bring we have back to, what they've learned.
And yeah, we have to keep it, passing. Yeah. We have mm-hmm. to keep passing our knowledge. You know, I had a girl tell me that she's from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. She keeps looking for knowledge. I said, I don't look for knowledge. Knowledge is all around me. I just reach out and get it.
Yeah.
And that's it. It's yeah. right there in front of you.
Yeah,
I mean, the old adage that you got to learn something new every day. I try to do that, and there's always something out there like, huh? You know, bofo. What? Nah, you're kidding. You know, yeah. It is amazing. It's amazing. And then back then we used to have, you know, the Chiflo and the guys, the bands that came were from Santa Fe, Española. You know, that, and there were some good bands that come, guys. The guys that made, you know, Freddie Brown, mm-hmm. Baby Gaby, all these guys were up here mm-hmm. playing music back then.
Yeah.
I remember when Sparks first came to the Monte Carlo. I was the PA system. And I was like, what am I going to do? I mean, I had like a 12-channel board, you know, the old-fashioned little square box, you know.
Yeah.
And I put speakers up there, speakers here. I put them every damn where. And they liked it. And Ralph, my brother, still has a poster that was signed by Sparks for him in
nice.
His band cape. And that's cool. But we had all these names used to come up here
mm-hmm.
to play.
Yeah.
Because people here loved the music. And if it was at the Chiflo, it was at the Golden Q, El Monte Carlo, Kiowa. You know, they didn't care. As long as there was music, they would go. Mm-hmm. I remember going to the dances, and it was always packed. Oh, I remember playing at the Golden Q, and Lorenzo Bailon was drumming. And some people came up to ask for a song, and he goes, oh, you're not from here, don't you? Oh, man. And of course, that stuck for many years. You're not from here, don't you? But that was Lorenzo Bailon doing. And he could play drums. Boy, I remember one other drummer, Errol, who told me one time, I never want you, if I'm playing with you, I don't want Lorenzo to come and play. Le digo, ¿por qué, bro? He's better than I am. Especially Wipeout. You remember the song Wipeout?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, his drumming was like, whoo.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was amazing.
Where was, I remember the Kaiwai. I played there when I was a kid with my dad. Where was the, I'm trying to remember the Golden Q. Where was
the Golden Q is, you know where the Cuesta Post Office is?
Yeah.
It's just a cross, and then the second road to the right is no longer, the building's no longer there.
Oh, okay, that was the, where was the Kaiwa then?
The Kaiwa is over here in town.
The stopping.
Where the stopping, no, it's past that where the, it used to be the Cuesta Cafe, and now it's that thrift store.
Oh,
right,
yes,
next door,
yes.
Auto Parts. That was the Kaiwa.
That was the Kaiwa.
And right. Then the Chiflo was right at the turn off to Cerro on the right side.
Yeah.
That was the Chiflo. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, in Costilla we had the Highway Bar.
The Highway Bar at that time.
Tavern, yeah. And then the Plaza.
Yeah. Yeah, well, the Plaza.
That was later.
But much later. But the, at the back, in those days, it was the one here, the one you just mentioned. And people would go. I mean, we would go over there and play. And
I tell my wife that back in the day that there'd be three dances in Costilla going on. One at the Highway Bar, mm-hmm. the State Line, and every one of them just had.
There was everybody there. Yeah, yeah, everybody was there.
People just loved to.
And I remember the anciano dances they had in La Malia.
Uh huh.
Oh, I'd love to go to those because you'd see this couple that barely could walk. I wound up, you know, barely making it to the dance floor, and once they started waltzing, it was like they're on glass, man. Oh. Yeah. I love that. I mean, I to this day, I can close my eyes and watch some of those couples just glide on that dance floor. They were amazing.
Yeah.
Music just transcends. There's nothing like music. You know, a friend of mine, Leo Vigil, is also a musician. We were in Cabo San Lucas. And I'm in the swimming pool, and he's out walking. He said, "Oye, Michael, vente. ¿Qué pasa, bro? My prima's on the phone. We're going to sing Las Mañanitas." Because he sings to over 200 people their birthday when Las Mañanitas. He calls them up. So we were singing. And we sang it and everything. And there was this whole group of Japanese people. They went crazy. You got to explain what it means and everybody you do it. So we had to tell them. And then that night, he called another primo. We were in the restaurant. So we were singing then. So all the help came and sang with us.
Oh, nice.
And that was so cool, you know, because, you know, it's just music transcends everything.
Yeah.
Music is
the universal language.
And not only that, but, you know, it's like at the Living Center, you know, when I used to go play there a lot, you used to get people that, I remember one gentleman from Peñasco who had a major stroke, and he was just, you know, almost non-moving. But when we started playing some of the old Mexican tunes, you could see him rock and you could see him try and mouth the words. Man, you can't get better pay than that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that the tears, you know, it's like your heart going,
yeah.
You know, because it is giving them something to smile about inside. You can't ask for better.
Yeah.
That's the greatest payment there is, man.
That's beautiful stuff.
Yeah.
What was, do you remember the first song you ever learned to sing and play on the guitar?
Cuando Calienta el Sol.
Yeah. Do you think you can play it at all? Or do you remember it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That was my dad's song. Cuando Calienta el Sol was a movie in Argentina or Chile, I can't remember. But he says, I want you to learn this song for me. I did.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And I still do it.
Oh, that's.
I've been doing that song. And then my mom's favorite, Solamente Una Vez. For the same thing, but I've been doing that since I was 14, those two songs.
Yeah.
And I'm, 71? A long time.
I ran out of fingers to count. Well, let me take a short pause here, and then when we come back, do you mind doing the song?
Oh, I would love to.
All right. Thank you. We're here with Michael Rael in Cuesta, New Mexico.
Well, I'm going to play one of the first songs I ever learned. We were just talking about it. Cuando Calienta el Sol. Excuse me, my dad wanted me to learn this. So I did, and I've been doing it ever since. Amor, estoy solo aquí en la playa. Es el sol que me acompaña y me quema, y me quema, y me quema. Cuando calienta el sol aquí en la playa, siento tu cuerpo vibrar cerca del mío. Es tu palpita, es tu cara, es tu pelo, son tus besos, me estremezco. Cuando calienta el sol aquí en la playa, siento tu cuerpo vibrar cerca de mí. Es tu palpita, tu recuerdo, mi locura, mi delirio, me estremezco. Cuando calienta el sol, cuando calienta el sol aquí en la playa, siento tu cuerpo vibrar cerca de mí. Es tu palpita, tu recuerdo, mi locura, mi delirio, me estremezco. Cuando calienta el sol, cuando calienta el sol, cuando calienta el sol.
And the crowd's going wild, Mike. I can hear them. Oh, man, that song is beautiful. Wow.
And I remember...
Who did that song originally?
Well, there were several that have done it, but it came from the movie. But Tres Rios, Los Panchos, Javier Solis, everybody's done it. Because it is an incredible song. It's one of the most beautiful songs. It's
beautiful.
Yeah, and I was remembering how I was singing it. When I first started playing the song, learning it, Norbert Ortega, who used to own the Texaco station, was very close friends of my dad, him and Bella, and my mom and dad. He says, well, when do you know when to change chords? You know, in my head, I was like, oh, at your discretion. And he just laughs. See, discretion.
I like that.
Yeah, well, you know, it's just what it was.
Salud.
Salud.
All right, so your dad asked you to learn that song, and then your mom asked you to learn...
Solamente una vez.
Okay, can we hear that one?
Solamente una vez amé la vida. Solamente una vez y nada más. Una vez nada más en mi huerto brilló la esperanza. La esperanza que alumbra el camino de mi soledad. Una vez nada más se entrega el alma con la dulce y total renunciación. Y cuando ese milagro reliquia el prodigio de amarse, hay campanas de fiesta que cantan en el corazón. eso nada más. Se entrega el alma con la dulce y total renunciación. Y cuando ese milagro religia al prodigio de amarse, hay campanas de fiestas que cantan en el corazón.
Yeah.
Those are some oldies.
Oh man, that's another beautiful song.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, and they're timeless.
Yeah.
Anybody that's even in Red River, when I go play up there and I do that, and I do a bilingual version of both of them, but.
Uh-huh.
But people love those songs, man. They still, oh my goodness.
Oh, that's beautiful.
You know, those ones, and of course the cuckoo, cuckoo, and then in the English version, the house, you know, my version of the house. Those are the songs.
I know the cuckoo, cuckoo, I know has always been one of your signature Michael Rael songs.
Yeah, I don't care where I go, I gotta sing that song. It's like, orale.
Doesn't matter where you're at and you're here, Mike, so I think we're gonna have to do that one. Let me just stop this and then let's come back
okay
with that one. Here we go. I'm gonna pause.